Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody?
Great.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those joining us online, welcome, welcome, welcome. Your message title today is this. Kind of goes in with what Matt was talking about. A seat at the table. Do you have a seat at the table? How many of y'all grew up where you went to your grandparents on Sunday? Like every Sunday. Went. What'd y'all do? Y'all ate, didn't you? You picked out. I know I did. I enjoyed it. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that was some of the best food we ever got, wasn't it? I know we can't duplicate those recipes, amen? But we can duplicate the time at the table. The time that, how many of y'all remember? One time, you may have went, and when you got there, there wasn't no seats. Everybody had already taken the table. They're taking the seats at the table. We scramble around, don't we? Try to grab us a plate and either eat, standing up, leaning up against a wall. Amen. Or sit down on the floor and try to hold your plate in your lap and eat. But we always wanted to get a seat at the table, didn't we? So that we didn't have to worry about where the utensils were. We didn't have to worry about dropping them on our laps or on our shirts or on our clothes. Amen. We had everything right there at the table with us. We had all our family. We had all the friends that came over those weekends. We had them right there at the table with us. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A seat at the table. Your main scripture today comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this, the NIV version. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Amen. It's by grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm in Jesus Christ. Amen. You're talking about a seat at the table. Amen. We're going to talk about today, brothers and sisters. We're going to talk about Christ and that table. Amen. We gather today to reflect on the profound truth found in the book of Ephesians. A truth that speaks to the very core of our Christian faith and the very core of each one of our identities. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 reveals to us the depths of God's love, the riches of His mercies, amen, and the incredible grace that transforms our lives when we accept Him as Savior, amen. So we're going to talk about the depth of that God's love. Because of His great love for us, we began with the foundation of our faith. And that's God's great love. Amen? This is not a casual or a conditional love. But it is a profound, a sacrificial love that moved God to an action. Amen? In a world, love is often portrayed as a fleeting emotion or something that must be earned, isn't it? However, God's love is unchanging. Amen? It doesn't change over time. It's also unconditional. Amen? It's a love that sees us in our brokenness and chooses to redeem each one of us, even though how bad we might be. Amen? Consider the parable of the prodigal son. The father's love for his wayward son didn't diminish despite that son's mistakes, did it? Instead, his love compelled him to run and to embrace his son upon his return. Similarly, our God and His love for us is relentless. It's ever pursuing. And it's always welcoming us back into his arms when we mess up. Amen. We also see the riches of God's mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy is God's compassion towards each one of us. Despite our sins, despite our shortcomings, He has a compassion for us, a love for us, don't He? The riches of God's mercy are immeasurable. We were dead in our transgressions, weren't we? Completely unable to save us ourselves. Amen? Yet our God loved us enough that His mercy reached down and into our helpless state offered us a new life, a new way. Amen? A seat at the table of God. Think about the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan showed mercy to the wounded man, tending to his wounds and ensuring his care. Likewise, God sees our spiritual wounds, and in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, He heals us and He restores us. Amen? And He makes us alive in Christ. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace and mercy that we have been saved. This is the heart of our gospel, isn't it? This is the heart of the gospel of God and Jesus together. We were spiritually dead. We were separated from God by our sins. Amen? Some of us might still be. Amen? But God, we always love a but, don't we? But God, in His mercy, made us alive with Christ. A new life for each one of us. Not something that we could receive on our own. Amen? Not something that Ronnie could do on my own. Not something that you here or you watching at home can do on your own. It is a gift of God's unending grace and mercy. Amen? In John 11, we read about the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead, wasn't he? In tomb and beyond human help. He was there for a while, wasn't he? To make sure that Jesus got all the glory out of that. Because what happened? There was nothing any human could do to get Lazarus out of that grave. Amen? But Jesus. Somebody say, but Jesus. Somebody watching home, type but Jesus in the comments. But Jesus called him from the grave, didn't he? Bringing him back to life. Again, something no human could do. But guess what, guys? In the same way, Jesus calls us out of our spiritual death into a new life with Him. This is a powerful transformation, isn't it? That changes our identities. Amen? And not only changes our identity, but it also changes our destinies. Amen? Because we're risen up. We're raised up with His seat and with Christ. The last part of that verse says, and God raised us up with Christ, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That verse speaks to our new position in Christ. We're not just saved. Amen? We're not just saved from death. But we're elevated to a place of honor and a place of authority with Christ. That means that our lives now have a heavenly perspective that we should be looking through. We're called to live as citizens of heaven, aren't we? Reflecting in Christ's love and His grace in our daily lives. Amen? Consider the transformation of Paul. He was once a persecutor, wasn't he, of Christians? Paul encountered the risen Christ and was radically changed, wasn't he? It wasn't just a little change. Amen? It wasn't just something small that nobody would really notice. Amen? It was radically changed. He went from being an enemy of the faith to an apostle, spreading the gospel far and wide. Paul's new life itself in Christ gave him the heavenly perspective that shaped his mission and his purpose. So Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 remind us of that incredible love, that incredible mercy, that incredible grace of our God. Where we were once dead in our sins, but we're now made alive in Christ. We're raised up and seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Amen? This is the true transformative power of the gospel Jesus Christ and God. And by being raised up, we're guaranteed a seat at the table of God. Amen. Your second scripture comes Revelation 19:9. NIV says this: "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" These are the true words of God. As we gather to reflect today, again, on our seat at the table, one of the most profound promises in Scripture, the invitation to sit at the table of God and Jesus in heaven. This is a divine banquet, isn't it? It's not merely a metaphor, amen, but a powerful assurance of our eternal fellowship with our Creator, with our Savior. It symbolizes acceptance. It symbolizes belonging, amen, and the fulfillment of God's promise to us as people. Amen. You have the invitation. Our journey begins with an invitation. Revelation 19:9, we hear about the blessedness of those invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is an invitation not based on my merit, not based on our merit, amen, but based on God's boundless grace and love for us. Jesus extends the invitation to all who believe in Him, assuring us that we have a place at the table. If you look at Luke 14:15-24, we're going to look at the great banquet. The NIV version says it this way: "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.' Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back, and he reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, 'Go out quickly. Sorry. Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" As we look at that parable, Jesus tells of a man who prepared a great banquet and invited many guests, don't he? When those originally invited made excuses, the man extended the invitation to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, ensuring that his house would be full. This parable truly reflects God's heart, don't it? His desire is that his table will be filled with those who accept his invitation, regardless of their past and present circumstances. Jesus himself has prepared us a place, and John 14:2-3 says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I'm going there to prepare the place for you? And if I go and prepare the place for you, I will come back and take you with myself, or with me, that you will also be where I am." That passage itself highlights the personal care that Jesus takes in preparing a place for each one of us. It's not just a seat, is it? But it is a seat prepared. The love and the attention. This is a prepared place. Signifies our eternal home, where we will dwell in the presence of God forever. It gives us a fellowship, don't it? Having a seat at that table signifies our fellowship with God and Jesus. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place where we will dine with the Lord and we will share His joy and experience His love to the fullest. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The imagery of dining together speaks to the closeness of the personal relationships that we each have with Jesus. It's not distance, is it? It's not distant. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? We got to make a transformation, don't we? Setting at the table with God signifies our transformation. Revelation 7:16-17 says, describes it this way, deepest longings. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them in the springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear in their eyes. That passage speaks of complete satisfaction, don't it? And joy that we will experience in heaven. Our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual needs will be met as we dwell in God's presence. As we reflect on today's promise of having a seat at the table of God and Jesus in heaven, let us be encouraged and inspired to live faithfully. This invitation is a testament to God, to His loving grace. It assures us that we are valued, that we are accepted, and we're destined for eternal fellowship with our Creator. Let each one of us strive to extend this invitation to others, family, friends, amen, community. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the hope of the heavenly banquet. May we live in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received, always looking forward to the day when we will dine with our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the incredible promise of having a seat at Your table. We are humbled by Your grace and love, which invite us into eternal fellowship with You. Help us to live in anticipation of that glorious day, sharing Your love and invitation with others. Strengthen our faith and guide our steps as we journey toward the eternal home with Jesus. As we leave today, let us remember that our identity is in Christ. Let us live as those who have been brought from death to life, showing God's love and mercy to those around us. Let us always give thanks for His amazing grace that has saved each one of us and raised us up with Christ. Amen.